Good evening. I call the October committee meeting to into order. First, we start with our moment of silence and pledge led by Mr. Kevin McCarroll.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, welcome to our October meeting. Start the night out with comments from district citizens or citizens who have students within the district. Again, we limit it to 5 minutes. That'll be kept on the timer here for you. And all we ask is that you keep whatever your comments are under the purview of the school board. First up, when you come to the microphone, if you can at least state your name for those that might be watching remotely, as well as just your general living area. So first up is Ralph Hess.
Good evening. My name's Ralph Hess, New Holland Borough. I have two daughters in the school district, 10th grade and 2nd grade. I just wanted to tell you guys thank you for all the hard work that you put into it as board members, the administration. There are a lot of members of the community that appreciate your hard work as well, so thank you to everybody. I'd like to open with a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Father God, I thank you for your protection and presence tonight at this meeting. I pray for each board member and administration member. Give them wisdom in decisions that they have to make, hard and easy. Give them a sense of peace and understanding in everything that they do this evening. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Next up is Henry Smeltz.
Henry Smeltz, 593 Main Street, New Holland. Same address I had when I graduated from these esteemed halls. First, I want to apologize for this being the second year I've been showing up here. And having lived in the borough for all these years, I should have been part of coming in here and seeing what's going on. I waited until there were things that were very difficult. And what I'd like to do is tell you all that you've done a great job of many of the decisions you had to make. Things were tough. You were getting some pressure from above, from national areas, and maybe it wasn't as easy, but the mask policies, the vaccine policies, the times when you opened a school up, I think in those difficult times you made good decisions. Some decisions that seem to be coming up, though, that I have a problem with, but you seem to be doing a pretty good job one again, is that there are books that are being put in libraries. And I understand that you guys are doing, checking them out, making sure that they're not in these libraries. That is not book burning. That is not being discriminate about what kind of books the kids are reading is not a failure of your library, and it's not censorship, despite what some people are saying. Interestingly enough, when I was a kid, I was in second grade, there was a book that was censored by the Supreme Court of the United States. And it turns out that as I left these halls and began to follow a pattern which I see a quote from Mr. Robert Heinlein nowadays that says, read those books that you've been told not to. Those are the books I started reading. And I recognized that there were things that were occurring here that I had learned here that were not actually good for us, because they were trying to follow the dream of President Wilson when he wanted to make the education of a son to make him as less like his father as possible. That shouldn't be happening. We have a father, God the Father, and that book has been more to me than any other book, and it also is the foundation of the civilizations, Western civilization, and it shouldn't be ignored. That book has become so precious to me that I read it every day and read through it year after year after year, because I want to understand what the Father wants us to do. And right now, America's in a bad place, and it's in a bad place because it's forgotten that that book's important. And I want you to try to do your best. And I've seen some times that where it's really made me feel good. There's been assemblies here that have been allowed. And there's organizations here that have been allowed. There's the release time that's been allowed. Continue with those things and consider increasing them if possible. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The final comment tonight is from Dave Horst.
I'm Dave Horst, live in 1186 East Earl Road. With your permission, I'm going to ask. I would share a little bit of family history, which will lead me to why I come and why I say what I say. If you say no, then I'll skip the family history and go right to what I...
I'm going to defer to the board help on this one. Our policy states that must be in the purview of the school, but if the board allows it, then we can have the discussion, or he's allowed to talk about his family history.
It'll be like a minute or two, and then and it'll lead into whatever. But I don't mind
okay.
if you say no.
5 minutes is going. Go.
Okay. All right. I won't go more than five. Four generations ago, there was a man that lived in Churchtown area named Benjamin Weaver. He had a daughter named Anna. She had a son named John. He had a son named Lamar, and Lamar is my father. Benjamin Weaver was bishop of the Mennonite Church. The footprint of the churches that he was bishop over is, if you want to know, look online, look up Benjamin Weaver, Bishop Benjamin Weaver. When I did that, his obituary popped up. It named all the churches that he was bishop over. Happens to be almost exactly Eastern Exeter County School District. I don't know where the Weaver descendants are. Anna married a Horst, who was my grandfather. And, I mean, their child was my grandfather, and that's why I'm not a Weaver, even though he is my great-great-grandfather. But for some reason, I really sense in my spirit God has placed some kind of responsibility on me. Not that I'm governing the district. Obviously, that's not happening. But God shows me things. He burns things into my spirit. When I come here and share at a school board meeting, I don't spend the week or the couple weeks before the meeting trying to think something up to say. Sorry if this gets emotional. God burns into my spirit, and I listen, and he reveals to me what I need to say. Sometimes, I've been encouraging you to gather the community and help you accomplish your job. I think you're doing a great job. I really do. But I think we're too few. I think I think what's coming down the road with the federal and the state is going to cause problems. We're going to have fires we can't put out. The government is tyrannical. They're tyrannists. And they take no for an answer very, very seldom. And if we come together as a community, and I really believe the community is prepared to stand as one with you folks. You've proven yourselves to be faithful, but you're just a few. But I believe there are literally thousands if you take the opportunity to gather them together. And you can accomplish your dreams. I believe we can be free from the state and the federal government if we just take the step. It's a bold step. There's a lot of fears involved and a lot of stuff involved. But I believe that God's eyes go to and fro in the earth, looking for those for whom he can be strong. And the strength Those who he will be strong for are those who take the first step, even if all we see is the first step. You've taken many steps, but there's a big step that needs to be taken, I believe. And when that step is taken, then your eyes will be open to the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. And when the way is blocked, God will intervene and provide a way where there seems to be no way. My time's up. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any comments from the board?
Only one.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to policy, I'll go to Nadine to say thank you once again. When it came to the work last year that we did on 109, when it came to resource materials, specifically to the question and comments on the books that are there. So again, like I've told many people in the public, and I know many people listen, go to Policy 109. If you have a question about a book, everything is there, very well done, laid out for reevaluation of materials, questions about materials. So I think it's just important to know that that is where the public can go if there is a question about something out there. So thanks.
Thank you. Moving ahead to the personnel report. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Motion by Tom, second by Paul. Discussion. We need to approve the motion first. Yes. All in favor to approve the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion is approved. Now we need discussion. Sorry.
No problem. I'd like to have Kara Martin introduce the one of the new, the behavior specialists on the agenda.
Good evening. It's my pleasure to introduce Sarah Swisher, who's on the agenda this evening for behavior specialists at our secondary campus. Sarah is a GuardSpot alumni, so that's a plus for us. She has over 5 years' experience of working with individuals who exhibit a very challenging behavior in center-based programs and the IU settings. She has her master's in applied behavior analysis that consists of over 1,500 supervision hours as a part of that ABA coursework. So we're really excited to have her level of expertise joining our team.
Tom?
Well, you already know where you grew up. So when you were here at GuardSpot, what activities were you involved in, and what things do you enjoy to do now that you're out on your own?
So here at GuardSpot, I did yearbook and cross country. And now I have an 11-month-old daughter. I have a crazy 1-year-old golden retriever. So I spend a lot of my time with my child and my dog.
A lot of energy there in both of them.
Yes. Other than that, we go camping, go to concerts, and just have a lot of fun.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, of course. Nice to meet all of you.
You bet.
Thank you. All in favor to approve the motion that we already approved once, but we'll do it again for good measure. Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is now officially approved, and welcome aboard. Dr. Mike, you want to say a couple words?
Just welcome. We all know how difficult it is right now for our learners with many of the challenges that they're facing, and just knowing what your background is and how you're going to come and support the district, we're really excited to have you on board and really looking forward to the work that you're going to do to help our learners be successful. So welcome, and thanks for joining the team.
Thank you so much.
Moving ahead to property and services.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first action item that we have for next week is the athletic ticket prices and passes. If you take a look at the screen, you'll see above the line is our current pricing structure. Right now we have $3 for students, $5 for adult and senior citizens. We also have parent of student athlete pass, which is 50% of admission for the season, and we also have a senior citizen who are residents of the school district. They get in free with a courtesy card. We had some requests for some like family pass options. We did kind of task Mrs. Wilson, the athletic director, to do some research with some other school districts and come back with some recommendations. And her recommendations are below the line, which would be to move the senior citizens to the $3 from the $5 based on some of the information that she's been given at the games at the gates, and also to take a look at the full year pass options, which would be for a student would be $25 for the full year, $50 for one adult for the full year. This will be for all athletic events, and $125 for the family. We would like to put this in place beginning with the winter season. That way, if anybody has multiple sports or the fans that really want to come to all the events, they could. We did, based on some of the surveys, we did not want to get into, like, tons of options. We felt that this would be a nice starting point, and then we can go from there.
Any questions for Mr. Ramsey? Would you ever consider prorating the full year for this year only, since you're starting it halfway through the year for the winter season, or does it not?
I guess we could.
I guess you can consider it.
If that's the board's, you know, if that's what you like us to do, we definitely could do like a two-thirds type of thing.
Just for the first year?
Yeah, we could.
Is there any thoughts from the board on that? I mean,
about prorating or about this?
Both. Let's focus on the prorating, and then we'll go back to the rod. Does anyone have a feeling either way? Should we prorate for the first year? We're not talking significant dollars. It's more just the
to get people to the events. I would agree with you, John. I would. If that's possible.
I agree if it's possible. I agree. It's
something too much of an administrative nightmare. I think we should prorate for the first year, then, well, for the remainder of this school year, and then do the full amount next summer.
I'm sure Cindy would have no problem with that.
Delegation. And you would...
Or I was going to say, you can just make it 1 year from this date, like in just every October, that's when the year starts. Or whenever we start this, that could be when the year starts, or did that way.
That would
but I'm just throwing that out there, okay. I do have a question, only because if you've ever taken tickets at one of the games, I just think the bottom choice, the family for $125, two adults, two or more students, I think that could get tricky for the people collecting tickets, just because, you know, they could say like, oh, these are all my kids, or it would just, I don't know if we could maybe just make that just a solid number, like three kids or three or less or something, just so, you know.
So I'll just jump in as someone who has five children. Getting the whole family in is something we just enjoyed as a family. And I know many of the families in the district here also have quite a few children. And I think just the whole school spirit thing and getting people out to events and supporting each other is kind of what we're aiming for. I'm going to trust that more often than not, people are going to be trustworthy. And if we see that we start getting taken advantage of and minivans or whatnot start showing up and 11 kids pile out, then, you know, we may come back and look at it. But I think it's a great opportunity. Ms. Wilson and Mr. Ramsey did a ton of research on this. I think this is something we don't have in place now, and it's going to encourage people to come out and support our community. So I think it's a good thing to get started with.
And then just my last question, is one student or whatever the student price is, what about children that aren't students? Is that still that price? Like if kids would come from another district to come see a game, they would get another, they're still students, or how does that work?
Yeah, so are you talking about the $3 or you're talking about the...
Anything that says student. I'm just thinking, I don't know, a cousin comes from another state and visits. And
sure, if anybody comes from outside the area and they're coming to one event, it would be $3 if you're student age. Okay. The passes, you're probably not going to get them unless you're going to take advantage of them over the course of the year.
And that would be the same for the senior citizens as well, coming from another district.
Any consideration for not charging our own students? Like if they bring their own school ID, they get them for free? I mean, I'd be in favor of our kids being able to come to all of our events.
Yeah, I didn't see that in our research, but we could survey the districts and see if anybody else.
We've been the first before.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree.
No. Yeah, I mean, I
definitely
I like
something
Mr.
I'll take back.
I like Mr. Narana's suggestion of not charging our own students to go see their friends and peers play in sports.
It's all about getting, you know, the school spirit.
We still get the away income, right? So
yeah, no. I'll definitely take that back to Cindy and Depending on what she says, we can discuss it next week and then adjust
the
motion.
Can we discuss it and vote on it next week?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I still think it's important to have it in place for the winter
season.
That's good. I think if we pursued the not charging the students.
That's a great idea. Didn't even think about it. All right, cool. Thank you.
Any other comments for them on that?
Okay, the next two items are two agreements that we had to execute in order based on the timeliness of them. The first one is with the PA Principals Association. This is for an interim principal. This individual was with us previously for an interim period many years ago when Bob was a superintendent and did a great job. We were very pleased with his services. And what we would be looking at is it's $651 a day. That includes their fee to administer the interim services. And also, when we take a look at, we'll be funding this through the savings of the administrator that has left us. So we have, based on his schedule, we have more than enough to cover his time here. And then the last one is Trapini Communications. This is the same group that did our board workshop. We also got a proposal from them too, and I know Dr. Slomkowski will be giving an update during his committee, but we are looking to have them come. They're going to do a communication audit, really both internally and externally, how we communicate, and also to help us develop a plan. Their rate is $140 per hour. Based on the audit and the plan development, they're estimating $17,500, but based on what kind of conversations we have, we do not feel that they'll get to that amount. But again, we've been well served previously, and we look forward to working with them. Any questions on those two contracts?
Two questions. For the principal's contract, when you figured out the dollar amount, is that through this school year, or do we plan on posting the position in the spring? Is that the goal when?
Yeah, so the number of days, if we were to need the services through the end of the academic year, we would be able to cover that. We're going to use kind of the normal hiring process in the spring because we feel that's going to get us the best group of candidates. And then the new candidate would start at the beginning of the fiscal year, July 1. But then how we close out the year, we'll make that work.
And for the communications proposal, is the $17,000 and change a not-to-exceed number? Meaning if they do get to it, would you come back to us for additional funds?
Yeah, and as, I mean, I'll touch on it in a little bit, but as Mr. Ramsey said, with the focus groups being lined up, there's a lot of things that are going to be compressed into schedules. I'm not sure that we're going to get even close to that number, but if we were to get close, I would certainly come back to the board.
Awesome.
Okay, the next item is the PSBA election of officers. You'll see the candidates that are listed there that we are able to vote on. There are links to their bios if you would like to review those. And as you can see, all the candidates are running unopposed this year. So we will look to have that voted on next week, and we have till the end of October to submit our results.
I'd just like to make a comment on that. Of course, over the years I've been on the board here, I've always been involved with PSBA, but we have one board member now that has a passion like I've never seen before for PSBA and has attended things and done research with it. And I'm always for planting a seed, and maybe sometime in the future we will see your name up there as a candidate, because we've had very few representatives from Lancaster County. I think one from Conestoga Valley over the years, and Berks County, but you'd be a fine representative for our area and the county.
Appreciate that, and you never know. I'll leave it there.
Okay, the last item I have is informational. It is the Act One Index. This is the amount that we're able to, quote, increase taxes, if you will, without seeking exceptions and approval from PDE. That is 4.1% for next year. We do not anticipate getting anywhere close to that. So I've also attached the budget calendar. This is something new this year, and working with Dr. Slomkowski, trying to give some a timeline of what you may anticipate between now and when we finally adopt it. You'll see two different colors. One would be internal use. That would be the administrators and our different tasks that we will be doing. And the gray is the school board review and action during that time. If you have any questions at all about anything you see on there, please feel free to email me or catch me at the end of one of the meetings, and I'd be happy to share it. We did develop this budget calendar based on not exceeding the index so that we will come to you in December and basically pass the opt-out resolution stating to PDE that our budget will not exceed the index, if you will, and then we'll be able to then you'll see that we will start up our budget deliberations in March. That ends my report.
Any questions for Mr. Ramsey? All right. Moving ahead to program.
Yes, I have one action item on the agenda for next week, and that is the approval of the Eastern Lancaster County School District Comprehensive Plan for the 22 through 25 school years. We have had it open for public review since our September meeting, and it's been in the library, it's been in the district office, and it's also been online. And so we are ready for the approval next week. Any questions?
All right, thank you.
All right.
Moving on to management. Dr. Snopkowski.
Okay, so first item on the agenda is the first read board policies, primarily from the 200 series. Are there any questions? Okay, seeing none, one of the things I just wanted to add quickly before moving on to the next topic, many of the policies that you're seeing now and saw a few in the last round as well reference administrative rules, ARs, procedures, things of that nature. The plan for these is once we have the policies themselves approved, then we're going to start cycling back and also start working on the ARs. So we'll start to have those discussions internally, and we'll have many of those start to populate probably January, February. They'll be a few months behind the approval of the policy just because there are so many things happening at once, but that's when those will start to hit. So moving on to the second item, the Agricultural Advisory Board. This is an annual requirement as part of the process, and the seven names that you see there have been submitted to serve as the Agricultural Advisory Board. This would be just a straight approval by the school board or for them to continue in the roles that are being identified here. Are there any questions?
I'd just like to, they're all fine representatives of all areas of the agriculture community, whether it be farming or business in our community.
Great, thank you. Okay, and then moving on to the last item on the management agenda, the communications audit update. So as a follow-on to what Mr. Ramsey spoke about, we have beginning on Wednesday of this week and then again 2 weeks later on the 26th, we have sent out approximately 173 invitations to 10 groups of 10 groups from our school district that are inclusive of high school students, district support staff, community members, secondary teachers, elementary teachers, administrators, our custodial maintenance and food services team, parents from elementary learners, parents from secondary learners, and the board. As of now, we are just shy of 50% total participation, but most of the lack of responses at this point are for the 26th, so we're going to start hounding people to make sure that they're available to come in on the 26th. Very excited to engage in this process. This goes along with many of the conversations we've had since last spring related to making certain that the school district is best meeting the needs of the community, and one of the things that we continue to hear about and learn through is the manner in which we're communicating, not just sending out information, but also asking for information back so that we can best meet the needs of the community. So the goal of this process is kind of threefold. The first is that through the focus groups that are going to be meeting in the month of October, it will help the communications team that we're contracting with best develop a survey tool that will go out to all the members of the community, all of our teachers, and all of our students at the secondary level, I should say. That then will, the focus groups leading to the survey will give us the information that we need so that the communications team can then develop a recommendation plan, and then we can develop clear actions from that that we can basically take the steps that we need to best meet the needs of the community. It'll be internal and external, so part of this is an evaluation of our website. Part of it is an evaluation of how we communicate, whether it be through Remind, whether it be through letters, emails, as well as for all of our internal people, making sure that we're all on the same page and aiming at the same targets. So I think it's a really exciting opportunity. It's something I've had a chance to see results of these processes, and the results of these processes will probably guide our work for the next 3 to 5 years, with the goal once again being that we're going to best meet the needs of the community. So I'm excited. There'll be a report that will be generated by the consulting team that will be shared with the board probably in February, and then that will then lead us to the action steps that we'll be taking over the next several years. The timeline basically for the survey will be the month of December, with multiple reminders, so we'll be able to generate a lot of information from that and then develop a plan moving forward. So I'd be happy to answer any other questions if there are from that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other announcements from the board? All right, hearing none, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
That's a motion by Brian and a second by Paul. All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned. Have a good evening.
Kara.